share your thoughts with the audience.
Thank you very much for the honor of being the last speaker here at the World Knowledge Forum. Since it's Web 3.0 as topic, I'm giving you three definitions of Web 3.0. First one is, Web 1.0 was about e-business. In e-business, you have the firm at the center. Metrics are about how is the firm doing, internal metrics. Web 2.0 is about me business. Hey, I'm in the center. So I'm now inviting firms to offer stuff to me on my terms. Web 3.0 is we business. We business means that it's about community, and I'm focusing here that it's about interaction. Let me give you an example how that can be used for business. A company, large carrier in the United States, has very sophisticated models for direct marketing, for getting people to buy a new product. And this paper compares what you get by this traditional approach based on demographics, psychographics, etc., to the social approach where they simply market to people who just have friends, i.e. people they call, who bought that product. And the lift is a factor of 5. What are those general ideas here? It is that while Amazon, in what you all know as recommendations, people bought X, also bought Y, only used clicks, we now have relationships, like I can forward some product to somebody. We have attention gestures, such as I can annotate something, write a note about something. And of course, we have intention gestures of me searching something. Barney Powell, at the end, will talk about the semantics of data, product data, for instance. How can those be extracted? That's on the data front. On the people front, we know specific friends who can recommend things to you, but we also know who your peers are. Think about people who love Apple or people who love G-Star. And of course, we have experts as sources of recommendations. I said we business. There's a company in San Francisco called Get Satisfaction with the slogan, customer service is the new marketing. Think how things have changed. It is no longer that people need to spend lots of money to get people to see their product, but often people already are there at the product, and rather than outsourcing that to some call center, you say, hey, let's let people interact with each other. So Get Satisfaction is a platform where customers come together with other people who could be also customers or representative of the firms. So that is Web 3.0 as we business. Second definition, Web 1.0 was about data companies collect off about people, often without people really knowing that those companies are collecting data about them. Mainly thus, these are implicit data, sometimes explicit data. And what's new on that front is that there are many more data sources around than before. In particular, I'm interested in location data. Think about how much more we can say about the situation somebody is in if we know that they're moving in the subway, maybe 10 minutes later than they're normally using in the subway, so maybe they're late to work, that might not be the time to actually engage them in some dialogue. Web 2.0 for me is about explicitly contributing data. Tim O'Reilly, as we all know, called it architecture of participation, and that often means data about myself. Now, if you think about Mixi, or if you think about Facebook, what's really new there is not only data about myself, but data about my friends. And that's much more stable than only data about myself. So what's Web 3.0? Web 3.0 here, what I call the consumer data revolution, focuses on the attitude individuals have to those data they produce. And actually, often it is not clear who should pay whom. Where do these conversations happen? You probably all know the term C2C from 10 years ago, referring to companies like eBay. But now I'm talking about C2C, customers talking to customers. 90% plus of the conversations and 90% plus of the influence comes from people talking to their friends, not from traditional media, television, publishing stuff to people. So the third emphasis here is, and I teach data mining at Stanford, so in the old world, Web 1.0, the question was, here's a set of data. Give me some insights. Web 2.0 was, here's a problem. Give me some data. And Web 3.0 for me is the consumer data revolution, meaning I give you data, and maybe you pay me. It could be data about myself or data about others. So I'll close my brief presentation with five short examples on such data. First one, IMMI, company in the Bay Area. Hey, if you carry a mobile phone, which you leave on all the time, a mobile phone that measures every half minute, 10 seconds of what you're doing, and reports that back to headquarters, we'll pay you for that. For instance, this morning, 7:23, Andreas gets in the shower. 7:24, Andreas still in the shower. 7:25, Andreas still in the shower. 7:53, Andreas still in the shower. Clearly a candidate for separate shampoo and conditioner. So you get the idea. Some people might maybe think that's invasion of privacy, but you know, hey, I get those ads I'm interested in. Second example, my camera and my microphone. When I prepared for this presentation, I got this pop-up. It says, hey, do you allow this website to access your camera and your microphone? Some of you would say, no way. But I say, of course, because that way, it knows what state I'm in. Am I sitting there by myself? I'm sitting there with somebody, or maybe it's just a contributor on without anybody there. Who pays whom? Should I get paid for being observed? Third question. I thought at least I own my own information about myself, like my contact information. This site here, Jigsaw, however, has many people, hundreds of thousands of people, upload contact information about their friends and maybe also about their enemies. And about 7 million business cards are uploaded. So if you want to know, say, Jeff Bezos' mobile number, how do you get it besides asking me? Well, you just sign up and you trade in some virtual points. So my shower is no longer private. My computer observes me, my information up there. What else is there? There's, of course, my DNA. So here, this is my DNA. For $400, you can have your DNA analyzed, 23andMe. But the Web 3.0 component of this is not 23andMe, but 23andMe and we, W-E, which is we have now tens of thousands of subjects who paid for their own DNA to be analyzed. Now, on a voluntary basis, we answer all kinds of questions. That's how knowledge gets created in Web 3.0. And the last example here is my car. For some people, even more important than DNA, apparently. So here is a company which has insurance which is based on how you're driving. The company in Korea I'm working with, which has enormous interesting telematics about your car and what you do there. So these are just five examples here which show you how really Web 3.0 for me at the heart is a data revolution, the consumer data revolution. And if you think about some questions here, who talks to whom? Consumers talk to consumers now, not primarily companies. Who trusts whom? It's a shift from trusting institutions to trusting individuals. Who is in control? It's no longer really companies, but it's the blogosphere, the social web, the community out there. Who actually manages whom? There used to be CRM, companies trying to be sticky and not letting you go. For instance, I often wave my United Airlines 1K card and say, they think I'm a loyal customer. Bullshit. I'm hostage because I don't have much choice. So we need to move from transaction economics to relationship economics. What are the new metrics? These are self-metrics now. If you compare a company like Amazon with Yelp, Y-E-L-P, or Zappos, Yelp and Zappos reports lots of stuff, not about the company, but about each individual. And finally, I think the economic shift we are seeing is that it is about incentive design. It's about getting people to contribute stuff and finding ways, which need not be monetary ways, to compensating for that. So that, in brief, was what I think Web 3.0 is. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Matthias. That was a very short and brief and strong presentation.